Listener, we're all trying to get healthier, buying supplements, following the latest workout trends. But what if the newest tip from your favorite health influencer isn't exactly what your body needs? True Diagnostic helps you find out the exact supplements and lifestyle changes that can make a difference, and which ones might just be wasting your money. I just took the test myself. The kit arrived at my door. I did a quick, simple finger prick at home, then dropped it in the prepaid return package. That's it. Now I'm waiting on my results. Should have them in a few weeks. I'm genuinely curious to see what my biological age looks like versus my actual age, and what specific changes I should make. True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over a million biomarkers. Their True Age test measures how fast you're actually aging across 11 organ systems. True Health tests over 100 biomarkers like vitamins, inflammation, and metabolism, or get the combo for both. Either way, you get a clear 90-day plan. Your only job? Follow the three most important actions you can take for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. This is trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code Obscura20 at checkout. That's truediagnostics.com and use code Obscura20 for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. Listener, if you're looking for your next heart-pounding thriller, let me tell you about Run on Red by Noelle W. Eiley. This book talk viral suspense hit is returning in a deluxe special edition with stunning stenciled edges, and it is as beautiful as it is intense. When my wife read this book, she genuinely could not put it down. Every chapter tightened the tension. Every page made her more nervous for what was coming next. It follows two women stranded on a remote country road with no cell signal, trapped in a terrifying game of survival. What begins as fear turns into resilience as they fight back against those hunting them. If you love the twists of Freda McFadden, the grit of Karen Slaughter, and the psychological edge of John Mars, this book belongs on your shelf. The deluxe edition of Run on Red is available February 24th. Do not miss it.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Jacksonville 911, what's the address of your emergency?
My friend hadn't called me back. I just came into her house. She's on the floor. It looks like there's some blood. Her car is missing.
Is she there or is she missing?
She's here. Her car is missing and she's not answering. Please send somebody.
How old is she?
Oh my God. 49.
All right. Is she breathing, ma'am?
I don't think so. It looks like her hands are turning purple.
Okay.
I don't want to touch her.
Do you think that she's beyond help, ma'am? If you think that we can help her, then we need to do CPR to help her.
Vivian. No, her skin is cold.
I got you. Hang on just a moment. Help is coming. Just stay with me for just a second.
In a city as large and restless as Jacksonville, violence rarely begins where the public first notices it. Long before a case reaches headlines or courtrooms, there are smaller moments that pass quietly through police reports and arrest logs. A domestic dispute, a charge that fades from memory after a plea, another name added to a docket in a courthouse already crowded with them. Each entry looks ordinary on its own. Together, they can form a pattern that only becomes visible after something irreversible has happened. The story that follows carries the weight of that pattern. At its center is Zebulon Lorenzo Perkins Sr., a Jacksonville man whose adult life had already been shaped by repeated contact with the criminal justice system.
Hey, is that you on? Hey, my name's Detective Abbott. How are you? Did you want another water or anything?
Yes, sir.
All right. On the way down here, you mentioned that you wanted to talk to a lawyer before you talked to us. Right, but also that you did want to talk to us about how you got the car.
Yes, sir.
And all that. We would like to talk to you about how you got the car also, but if you want to talk to your lawyer before you tell us any of that. You got his name?
Me. No, my mom has all the information. That's why I'm trying to call my mom.
What's your mom?
Records stretched back years, showing accusations of violence, confrontations that escalated beyond argument and into harm. By the time the winter of 2019 arrived, the record surrounding him was not a single incident, but a long accumulation. Yet a criminal history rarely explains everything, listener.
We're just wanting to know about the car and all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
All right, so.
If you're willing to do that and you're okay with telling us about the car and all the stuff, without your lawyer, but that's totally up to you.
Okay. Okay with that? Okay.
Well, we want to make sure you're comfortable with that.
Yes, sir.
All right.
But in the meantime, we are going to go over your rights so that you do know them and that then we'll...
Yeah, we always read rights. All right.
Rights are read once you're arrested.
No.
Not necessarily.
We're police detectives. We're in a police station, and we're asking you about a crime that we don't know if you have anything to do with or not.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we want to talk to you about.
Yes, sir.
And before we ask you any questions, because we don't know if you're involved or not, we go over rights.
Yes.
A case like this unfolds through the lives that surround it. One of those lives belonged to Vivian James, a chemistry teacher known to generations of students in local high schools. She spent years guiding teenagers through the difficult language of science, the careful logic of experiments and formulas. Students remembered her as patient and encouraging, the kind of educator who believed knowledge should be shared rather than guarded. In a profession built on routine and dedication, her work was steady and deeply personal to the young people who passed through her classroom. Another life moving through the city at the same time was that of Leah Ann Klein. At 38, Klein lived a far less stable existence. Friends described her as kind and vulnerable, someone navigating circumstances that often left her on the edges of everyday life. People in those situations can disappear into the background of a large city, their struggle largely unseen until tragedy forces the world to notice. During the final days of 2019, these lives moved closer together on Jacksonville's west side. The holidays tend to give the city a brief sense of quiet. Schools close for the season, offices empty early, streets carry the soft glow of decorations, while families gather indoors. Beneath that calm surface, however, the machinery of ordinary life continues. So do the dangers that move through it. Within the span of a single holiday weekend, events began to unfold that would draw the attention of investigators across Duval County. What started as an isolated concern would soon widen into a case that carried elements of betrayal, violence, and the lingering shadow of choices made long before that December.
So, the car.
The vehicle. Okay, so basically, about 2 days ago, I spoke with my friend named Shard. Like I told the guy, I can point y'all to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can get y'all him or whatever.
He said Shard? Rashad Simmons?
Yes, sir. Purchased the car from him for $1,100.
$1,100.
I was getting it for my wife, my fiance, for Christmas.
Okay. And today is the 28th, so that would be the 26th.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I had the car from, like, last night and today.
All right. Do you remember what time on the 26th?
I gave the money, and we got the car. It was, like, sometime at night.
Okay, in the evening time.
Did he bring it to you there at the hotel, or did you meet him somewhere?
Nah, we met right at the pool hall right there.
The pool hall?
Yes, sir.
Which one?
103rd, West Side Pool.
Okay.
And do you remember, like, a specific time frame?
Yes, sir.
Was it dark out?
It was, like, it wasn't dark yet. It was, like, almost.
Starting to get dark?
Yes, sir.
Did he call you and say, hey, I'm trying to sell a car?
Yeah, we were already just talking earlier.
You just happened to be there?
That's the area where I was just at pool hall. I play pool. I'm a pool shark.
Oh, yeah? Okay. You pretty good?
Yes, sir.
You got your own pool cue?
Yes, sir.
No? That's how you can always tell when somebody's good if they got their own stick. You know, you just use the ones that
I love to play, but I suck.
I'm pretty good too. I got my own stick.
Anyways, you hit a topic that I guess we both like.
So what is like? What's the main objective of the situation? Like what?
We're just trying to find out where the car came from and what's up with the car.
I can get you the guy.
Do you have a phone number or anything?
Facebook. Is that his Facebook name? Is
Rashad Simmons?
Yes, sir. Is it Rashad or Rashad?
Rashad.
With an R? At the R-A-D?
R-A-S-H-A-D.
A-D.
Has nothing taken out of the car, nothing. Like, the car is as it is.
Did he say where he got it from?
No, sir.
Did you ask?
No, sir.
What about some of the strange things that were in there?
I mean, everything is as is. Me and my wife today, we were just feeling like I seen the undercover car this morning. I threw all the trash out that was in the vehicle, like in a bag. Mm-hmm. So that was it.
How old is Rashad?
He's about 24.
What kind of hair is he? What's he look like? What kind of hair is he?
Dreads.
Dreads?
5'7".
What about weight?
135.
Short and skinny. Okay. All right. So you paid him $1,100.
Yes, sir.
Cash or
cash.
Like one of those square things.
Cash.
Okay. And what about? I mean, where did you go after that?
Went to the hotel.
Okay.
From the hotel, and my lady, I called her. I said, "You get your stuff ready." She said, "Okay, I'll pick her up."
When did you pick her up?
Nighttime.
On the 26th?
No, yesterday.
27 at night. Okay.
The details would surface slowly through interviews, evidence, and courtroom proceedings in the years that followed. But even before the full story emerged, one fact became clear. Two lives had been violently cut short, and the path that led there had been forming far longer than anyone realized. This is the story of Zebulon Perkins and the murders of Leah Klein and Vivian James. Listener, little is publicly known about the early childhood of Zebulon Lorenzo Perkins. Born around 1992 or 1993 in Jacksonville, Florida, he grew up in a city known for its sprawling suburbs, naval bases, and the largest city by area in the continental United States, Jacksonville. It has neighborhoods that range from affluent coastal areas to struggling inner city zones. Perkins likely spent his formative years in one of the more modest parts of the West Side, a region characterized by working-class families, strip malls, plenty of economic hardship. Public records and court documents offer scant details on his family life during these early years. He had a mother who would later become involved in a periphery of his crimes. As evidence was found at her home, Perkins was part of a larger family network. Though specifics about siblings or his father's involvement remains elusive, what we do know is that he attended local schools in Duval County system, a district serving over 130,000 students. Education in Jacksonville during the 1990s and early 2000s was marked by efforts to improve literacy and graduation rates, but that didn't happen. One key figure from Perkins' educational background emerges prominently, Vivian James. A beloved educator, James taught chemistry at Atlantic Coast High School and had previously worked at Andrew Jackson High School. It is believed that Perkins was one of her students during his high school years, likely at Andrew Jackson High. James, born around 1970, was in her late 30s when she might have taught a teenage Perkins. She was known for her passion for science, her ability to inspire students, and her role as mentor. Former students described her as kind, patient, dedicated, often going beyond the classroom to help those in need. For Perkins, this connection would tragically resurface years later.
I don't know who, I didn't know this lady was dead until just now.
That's your friend?
Miss Vivian? Yeah. Yes, she would be my friend.
You know, I cry normally with my friend.
I couldn't. I hear you. Y'all try to plan it on me, bro.
Hey, Zip. Crime seem to take the keys in here?
This is the trash way.
But she's gonna get some good photos of your hands and all your clothes and all that. And then when she's done, we're gonna have your bring a bag of clothes in. You're gonna take those off. Same thing they're gonna do in jail, but we're just gonna do it right here, okay?
I'm trying to figure out. So, I'm getting arrested for purchasing a vehicle.
Stolen vehicle, right. Dealing with a stolen vehicle. And you said it numerous times to us that you knew it was stolen. You bought it anyway for your girl.
I didn't know it was stolen.
So this is a very sad situation with Miss Vivian, man. I mean, she's a school teacher. Obviously, you know, she's a good lady.
It is, but I feel like...
You know, so we want to do for her.
It kind of take the sadness out of it when I feel like it's being pointed at me.
I said, nobody's...
I feel for her. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a good friend of mine. But at the same time, if I feel like I'm against the wall, then...
We haven't pointed the finger at you yet.
I know, but y'all, the way that, like, the conversation kind of, like...
Pause. I mean, you got to understand how it looks, everyone. You are... You,
I'm giving
you... You were in her car, bro.
Give me a... I know, and I was at her house, bro. And then...
Okay, so...
You know what she looks like.
Yeah, I mean, her driver's license was in your room.
I didn't see that. That's all I'm saying. And it's more than me and my lady. Like, I was cleaning
this is
up.
Her, this is her driver's license
I was
picture.
Cleaning up. I was cleaning up. And I didn't see it.
Okay.
When you were inside Miss Vivian's house...
I was in the living room.
The living room?
The restroom. Mm-hmm. I came back to the living room.
Okay.
We don't go in our room. We don't do none of that.
Did you sit down on the couch in the living room?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Which one? Because there's kind of two. There's like a, it's like an L.
On this. When you come to the door, I said, I'm at that single person couch.
And when you came to the door, you came to the front door? Yes, or the door that's over there on the side? Like, because you got to...
Yeah, through that side door.
The side door, like, not through the garage.
And that's where I left, too.
Okay, through that door, not the garage.
Not the garage. Okay.
Jacksonville's west side, where Perkins resided, had historically faced issues with youth violence and gang activity. Public arrest records paint a picture of a young man increasingly entangled with the law. His first documented brush with the justice system came in 2012, when he was around 19 or 20 years old. This marked the beginning of a pattern of arrests that would escalate over the next 7 years. Between 2012 and 2019, Perkins was arrested 9 times by the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, with charges that revealed a propensity for violence. These incidents were not isolated, listener. They formed an escalating trajectory that foreshadowed the horrors of December 2019. In 2014, at age 21, Perkins faced serious allegations in a domestic dispute. He was charged with domestic battery by strangulation, and domestic assault. These charges are particularly chilling in retrospect, as strangulation would become a method in his later crimes. Perkins' case involved allegations of physical harm to his girlfriend, though details of the victim's identity and the resolution remain sealed in many public records, at least those that I came across. He pleaded and was convicted in some capacity, leading to time served. Listener, after spending hours researching the darkest corners of true crime, sometimes you need something to help you decompress. That's where Mood comes in. Mood.com is an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC products right to your door. We're talking gummies, flower, pre-rolls, edibles. They've got products designed for specific vibes. Need to wind down after a heavy episode? They've got sleepy time gummies. Want something for focus during those long research sessions? They've got that too. They even have options for feeling euphoric or, let's say, enhancing other activities. Personally, I'm a fan of their sleepy time advanced gummies. They kick in fast and actually help quiet my brain. After a long day of diving into cases, everything ships discreetly. It's all backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And best of all, Obscura listeners get 20% off their first order. Head to mood.com and use code Obscura at checkout for 20% off. That's mood.com, with code Obscura. This episode is sponsored by Chime. Listener, let's talk about something that hits close to home for a lot of us. Banking that actually works for you, not against you. You know, I've spent years of diving into true crime stories where people get taken advantage of by systems that are supposed to help. And honestly, traditional banks can feel a bit like that sometimes, with all their hidden fees and fine print. That's why I'm excited about Chime. It's changing the game with fee-free, smarter banking built for everyday folks like us, not just the top 1%. Chime isn't your average banking app. It's designed to unlock real financial progress for real people. Say goodbye to overdraft fees, minimum balance requirements, and those pesky monthly charges that eat away at your hard-earned money. Instead, Chime turns your everyday spending into rewards and helps you move forward. Here's what sets it apart. You get fee-free banking, plus reliable overdraft coverage, tools to build your credit history without the stress, and you can earn up to 3% APY on your savings. That's 7 times higher than what you'd get from a traditional bank. Plus, they've got 5-star customer service from USA Today, with real humans available 24/7 to help. And as an Obscura listener, you can score up to $350 just by signing up and making qualifying direct deposits. That's some serious extra cash for banking smarter. Now, let's talk about their new launch, the Chime Card. It's this innovative way to build your credit history, using your own money while getting rewarded every day. Imagine combining cash back and safer credit building on the same card, with no annual fees, no interest, and no catches. If you set up qualifying direct deposits, you'll earn 1.5% cash back on eligible purchases. It's like two game changers finally meeting up. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/obscura. That is chime.com/obscura. It only takes a few minutes to sign up, and Obscura listeners can earn up to an extra $350.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and the secured Chime Visa credit card are provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Optional services and products may have fees or charges. See chime.com/fees info. Terms apply. Limited time only. Must open the new account and complete qualifying activities to earn rewards. Advertised annual percentage yield with Chime Plus status only. Otherwise, 1% APY applies. No minimum balance required. Chime card on-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Results may vary. See chime.com for details and applicable terms.
By June 2015, Perkins was arrested again, this time on charges including battery, causing bodily harm with a weapon, among other smaller charges. This was an escalation, involving not just his hands, but escalating to weapons. Court documents from Duval County indicated that Perkins had multiple run-ins involving resisting officers with violence and general assault charges. Throughout his 20s, Perkins' life appeared to be a mix of instability and attempts at normalcy. He became a father, earning the senior designation, and had children who would later be mentioned in his courtroom statements. Family members, including his mother, remained in his life, providing a support network that sometimes intersected with his criminal activities.
Okay. Did she smoke any cigarettes while you were there or do anything?
I smoked a cigarette going in, and then she was like changing or something, so I stepped back outside and smoked another cigarette.
Okay. Did you actually smoke in her house?
No.
The garage? She didn't smoke in her house. No. Or out the side door?
She had a little smoke area over there.
In May 2019, just months before the murders, Perkins was arrested once more on violent charges. He served time and was released in September 2019, a mere 3 months before the events that would define his legacy of terror. The release placed him back into the community without apparent intensive supervision, a point that later sparked discussions among criminal justice reform advocates about recidivism and monitoring of violent offenders.
If you do answer questions, you have the right to stop answering questions at any time and consult with a lawyer. Do you understand? Okay. I understand you don't want to talk without a lawyer. I respect that. That's your right in our Constitution, okay? And we don't have to talk. I'm not going to ask you anything. I do need to bring you over and tell you we are charging you with murder, okay? But we're not gonna talk about it because your lawyer's not present, okay? So give me a few minutes, I'm gonna finish your arrest report and then we'll walk you back over, okay?
I'm over now.
You gotta wait till I finish up that report, okay? It'll seriously be about 5 minutes.
Why can I leave now? Why can I leave now? I got charged with something. Why can I leave now?
We're going to finish our report. And
why can I leave now?
Because you're being arrested for murder.
No, I'm not.
As 2019 drew to a close, Perkins was 27 years old, a man with a history of violence. He was living transiently, staying at motels on Jacksonville's west side, an area dotted with budget accommodations, highways, and commercial strips. It was here, amid the holiday season, that his path crossed fatally with two women, Leah Klein and Vivian James. Leah Klein was a woman whose life had its own share of struggles. Born around 1981, she grew up in Florida. Though specific details of her early years are limited, friends and family described her as kind-hearted but vulnerable, someone who had faced personal challenges, including periods of instability. At the time of her death, Klein was reported missing, this likely due to her transient circumstances. She was not a public figure like James. Instead, she represented the countless individuals whose disappearances often go underreported. On Christmas Day, December 25th, 2019, Perkins and Klein were together at a Westside motel. The exact nature of their relationship is not fully detailed in public records, but they were acquainted enough to spend the holiday in each other's company. What began as perhaps a casual encounter escalated into something deadly. According to later admissions and evidence, Perkins strangled Klein during the altercation, cutting the oxygen off and killing her within minutes. Klein's body was then callously disposed of in a nearby dumpster, treating her remains like refuse. Amid the festive season, the motel, a nondescript establishment off a busy road, became the scene of this horror. Investigators would later piece together the timeline through surveillance footage, witness statements, and forensic evidence. Perkins did not immediately flee. Instead, he moved on to his next victim, seeking solace or advice in a twisted turn. The next day, after Christmas, Perkins went to the home of Vivian James on Glen Allen Court, a quiet residential street off Ricker Road on Jacksonville's west side. James, 49, was a pillar of her community. Born around 1970, she had dedicated her life to education. After teaching at Andrew Jackson High School, she moved to Atlantic Coast High School, where she taught chemistry to hundreds of students. Colleagues remembered her as vibrant, with a love of science that made complex topics accessible. James's home was a modest single-story house, a place of safety until Perkins arrived. As his former teacher, she likely welcomed him in, unaware of the danger. Perkins confided in her about the killing of Klein, seeking guidance. James, true to her character, advised him to turn himself into the police. This counsel enraged Perkins. He beat her violently and then strangled her with a cord, a deliberate and brutal act. He left her body in the home, taking her Toyota Camry, televisions, computer monitor, and laptops. Finally, he dismantled her surveillance camera and then took that too. That same day, detectives located the Toyota Camry at Westside Motel, where Perkins was staying. He was in the process of loading items into the vehicle when approached. A search of the car revealed Perkins' bag, containing bloodied sweatpants with DNA from both Perkins and James, her three laptops, and the missing camera. At his mother's home, officers recovered James' televisions and computer monitor. These items painted a clear picture. Perkins was arrested initially on charges of tampering with evidence, dealing in stolen property, and later upgraded to murder. During interrogations on December 28, 2019, and January 10, 2020, he maintained a defiant posture. Detectives pressed him on his relationship with James, noting her as his friend. When informed of her death, Perkins showed no emotion. A detective challenged him, "That's your friend? You know, I cry normally when my friends die." Perkins replied flatly, "I couldn't." He denied involvement repeatedly, even as evidence mounted. Alone in the interrogation room after being charged with murder on January 10th, Perkins dropped to his knees, bowed his head, and prayed, saying, "You know the truth.
I didn't find the dude that gave me the car. Thank you.
Father God, help me. I did not do this. You know I didn't do this. My kids.
Peace, Father God. Please touch my heart, my mind, my soul, Father God. Touch my family. Father, you know the truth. You know the truth, Father God. You know the truth. You know the truth. You know the truth.
This, of course, was disingenuous. A performance rather than remorse.
All right, Zeb, let's go, Zeb.
Let's walk back, man.
You all right?
I thought you wanted to leave, man.
Bro, y'all just taking my life from me, bro. I want to go, man, but y'all taking my life from me, bro. I got kids, bro. I did not do this.
Let's walk you over there. We can't talk to you because you said you didn't want to talk.
I don't want to talk, but y'all should just pull me over here.
Please don't touch me.
The investigation expanded when Klein's body was recovered from the dumpster, linking the two deaths.
So he was like, bro, like, so first he talked to me about the first incident with a female named Cricket. She supposed to be like a prostitute or something like that.
Okay. So let's talk about that. White, black, did he tell you?
She a white girl.
Okay. What did he say about this white female named Cricket?
He was like, he was in a hotel on 103rd. I forgot the name. It's by the Gates gas station.
All right. Know the area. Yep. 103rd.
103rd, yeah. So boom. He was like, oh, yeah, man. Like one time, he was like, you know Rashad? I'm like, I know a lot of Rashad. I'm like, what Rashad specific? He's like, Rashad Simmons. I'm like, yeah, I knew him personally. I knew him. Like, my mama, his mama, family, all, my sister, his sister, they go to school. All of us hang.
No, from the neighborhood, from that area, like, around 103rd.
I knew Rashad, he ain't no violent person. So he was like, he got into Rashad. He like, and the girl Cricket, something happy.
Did he tell you why he got into an argument with Cricket? Was it over anything specific that you remember?
It was something about either drug. She was prostitute, and I know that. She did something wrong in his eyes.
Okay.
I can't say she was wrong. In his eyes, I guess she was wrong. So, like, he ended up choking her.
Okay. Yeah. Choking her.
Yeah, strangulation. Like.
Strangulation. And did he tell you that she died?
Yeah, he told me she died. He put her body in the dumpster, right outside the hotel.
The dumpster outside the hotel.
Yeah, outside the hotel. It was something happened with her car. I can't remember.
Okay.
I know she had like a sports car that he was talking about. She had a sports car, but he ain't had the keys to her, so he ain't never get it.
All right.
So him and Rashad, he was telling me about that, and Rashad was like wanting to get from around him. Because I know Rashad, like Rashad ain't, he ain't no violent person, so Rashad wanted to get from around him, so him and Rashad fight. When they get into a fight, they go to arguing and stuff, but Rashad leave, and he never hear from Rashad. But, like, in so many words, he was telling me he was on, like, hardcore drug. Mm. But I found out later on what he was on. He was on ice. He was doing ice and stuff like that. He was, like, after the Cricket situation happened, he was suffering from anxiety and stuff like that. So when he suffered from anxiety, he was, like, he wanted to talk to somebody. And the only person he felt like he could talk to was the teacher that I guess he was his teacher or whatever. But he always talked to, she was like his therapist though. She was really like his school counselor.
Okay, it's so kind of like a mentor, school counselor.
Really like a mentor. Yeah, like, you know, somebody that you look up to, that you can talk to, that you go to for advice.
Okay, and did he go talk to the teacher after Cricket?
For the wrong advice. Like, that type of person, you probably go to her for love. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, real problem. Like, that's an issue that he had.
Mm-hmm.
So he go tell her about the Cricket situation. But she gave him the best advice that she could give him. You got to go to the police. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only way I can help you. Instead of him letting her go to the police, he strangled her the same way.
Okay.
So when he telling me about it, I'm like, bro, you wrong, bro. Like, bro, you killed the teacher, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know me, like, I'ma speak my mind. Like, I told him, like, bro, you killed the teacher, bro. Ain't no students gonna love you, bro. Ain't no. So he getting mad. So once he go to getting mad, so I'm sitting on the bed. He swing on me. And the first thing he do was strangle me. This on everything I love. Like, first thing I think about was that teacher. I'm like, dang, he did the teacher the same way.
So while the two of you were in the cell together, he put his hands on your throat and was strangling you.
Yeah, strangling me.
Okay. Now, before that happened, when he was talking about what happened at the teacher's, did he give you any other details about things that he may have done inside the house?
He told me when he was in the house, he took a TV he took like a, I think I want to sell a bracelet, some type of jewelry. It was some type, I can't, don't quote me right now. I don't know, it was some type of jewelry he took. He took a car, because he got arrested in a car, I want to say the next day.
Okay.
He got arrested in a car the next day. So when he get arrested in a car, he come to jail, he came to jail December, mm-hmm. 2019, December, no. It wasn't December, it was November, one of the month, November, December 2019.
Okay. So, what you were telling me before about how he went to go over and tell the teacher because she was a mentor and stuff, he's telling you that while the two of you were in the cell together?
So, yeah, he's telling that. It was in cell 63.
On November 18th, 2021, a grand jury indicted Perkins on first-degree murder for Klein's killing. Adding to the charges for James' death, he faced burglary, dealing in stolen property, tampering with evidence, and fraudulent use of a credit card. The case dragged through the pretrial hearings for years, delayed by COVID-19 and legal maneuvers. Community outrage was palpable. James' death in particular struck a chord. In March 2024, after over 4 years in custody, Perkins pleaded guilty to two counts of second-degree murder. This plea deal avoided a trial, sparing families the ordeal of reliving the details. The agreement stipulated a 70-year sentence with credit for time served. At the sentencing hearing on April 26, 2024, before Judge Anthony Salem, impact statements were read. James' loved ones spoke of her legacy as a teacher, her kindness, and the void left by her absence. Klein's family emphasized her humanity, urging justice. Perkins' family attended, but did not speak on his behalf. Perkins himself addressed the court, quote, "It's not my job to get the truth out, you know what I mean? I'm doing what's best for my family, my children." He then added, "Justice had to be served." The judge responded, "Okay, I don't know what that means, but okay." Perkins was sentenced to 70 years in Florida State Prison, effectively a life sentence given his age. He receives credit for 4 years already served, but at 31 and a strict Florida justice system, he is unlikely to see freedom again. The case raises questions. Perkins' history of strangulation and battery should have been warning signs, yet his punishment was always relatively light. For the victims, Leah Klein and Vivian James, their stories endure as reminders of vulnerability. Vivian James' students continue her legacy. Leah Klein's memory calls attention to those reduced to the margins. For years before the killing, the contrast between these two women say something about the nature of violence itself. It does not sort its victims by reputation or circumstance. It simply arrives where it can. Thank you for listening, and keep the fire burning.